Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we now go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our good friend Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donica Chase, also handles the pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. Darren, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Good morning. I was just congratulating Michelle on a very successful trip to Lexington on Saturday, and I told her my little story. We were at the Preds game. Chase looked at me and said, "Who do you like in the Kentucky LSU game?" And I was like, "First of all, I would never touch this game." I said, I'm not betting this game. No chance." I said, "Do I think Kentucky's better than LSU this year?" "Yes, absolutely." "Should they win this game?" "Yes, absolutely." "But I've watched this my whole life. This is the game they lose." I was like, "So if I were betting on it, I'd probably take LSU." And then I told Michelle, I got home from the Preds game and I turned it on. I was flipping back and forth like a madman. Alabama A&M was crazy. There was all these great games, and Kentucky just absolutely beat them down. I don't know how you guys feel, but I don't think Ed Orgeron's going to make it through the season. I'm not sure he is.
Yeah, I don't think he is either. Do you even know what to do with your hands with Kentucky being 6-0?
1950, Robbie Stanley, Paul Bear Bryant. None of us were alive the last time they were 6-0.
Well, Joe was a teenager, but yeah.
I'm not touching that because I'm older than Joe, so I'm not going there.
D-Mac could be my dad. What are we talking about?
I don't know about all that.
Now, wait a minute. Whoa, let's pump the brakes. Let's not go that far.
Okay. Yeah, or cool uncle, at least. Cool uncle, all right?
Yeah,
that's wild. That is wild.
A black dickie under a white sweater. Not that uncle, right?
That's right. Well, Darren, we've got a lot to get to you today here with the Predators season starting later this week. I do want to get your thoughts quickly on the Titans, what you saw yesterday, a 37-19 win for the Titans against the Jags. What did you learn about the team in this game? And as they look ahead now to Buffalo, Kansas City, Indy, and then the LA Rams, all now staring them down the face, down the barrel coming up. Where do you think this team is right now as they sit here 3-2?
I mean, you say, how did I feel? What did I learn? I mean, I don't know if I learned anything. I mean, right? I mean, if we're sitting here talking about a Titans loss back-to-back weeks to the Jets and the Jags, I can't imagine what the storyline would be. It would be quite different.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they took care of business. Does it feel great? I mean, winning in the NFL is hard, and blowing teams out on the road is hard, and they did. It wasn't pretty. They're not going to win any model contests. They're not going to be the centerfold for sure. They won't be on the front cover of a magazine for that win, but it's a nice, easy win. I mean, they did pull away and they did have some things go their way and they took care of business. I mean, but that's what you're supposed to do against the Jags, just like everybody else has done. So you're right. This stretch, we're about to find out, because Buffalo's the best team in the NFL. I mean, they just are. And the Rams are right there, too. Kansas City's right there in the mix. Although I don't believe Kansas City's got issues. Their defense is not very good. And we've learned that in Nashville, right? Even with a great offense, if you don't have a great defense, you're going to have problems. And Kansas City's dealing with that. So, look, the true answer to your question, Robbie, is we're about to find out. This stretch in the next month, we're about to find out what the Titans are.
What's been most surprising to you, Darren, about this team through five games?
Boy, you can go a lot of ways with this. I think the continued storyline of just not getting production out of draft picks is just amazing to me. I just really felt like, you know, between free agent signings and draft picks, like that narrative was going to change, Joe. I felt pretty good about it. I mean, I think John Robinson has done a really, really good job. Do I think he's done a great job? I think it would be virtually impossible to say he's done a great job, because we all know the swings and the misses, and there's some pretty big, gigantic whiffs in there. So great is a bit, is a tad strong to say. He's done a really good job. They were a really bad franchise when he took over. But I just thought that narrative would change, and it hasn't. And I'm just sitting here scratching my head, continuing to wonder how this does not bite them in the butt. It's one thing, all the injuries, right? They're dealing with the same thing they went through last year, where they're, you know, sometimes there's weeks when you just look out there and you're like, who's that? Who's that guy with long hair? Who's that punter? You know, I mean, it's not catching up to them. I guess so. The biggest surprise to me is still the inability to get any production out of draft picks and free agent signings, to me, for a guy I think we all agree has done a really good job, is very perplexing.
Darren McFarland on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Darren, hard to believe, but the Predators back in action coming up on Thursday against the Kraken and the regular season beginning. I guess as you look ahead, especially the first few weeks of this Predators team, as they're trying to figure out what line combinations work and where maybe best to put some of these young guys that they have, which singular player, if you had to pick one, intrigues you the most about this Predators team heading into this season?
The guy who intrigues me the most is the guy that just sent to Milwaukee. I mean, if I'm being honest, Igor Afanasyev, man, I've done an about face. I mean, not done an about face. I just didn't really have a strong opinion one way or the other. But now that we have the ability to get back in front of this team, and we've done a couple shows now at Centennial Sportsplex, and now, you know, getting players in post game, being in front of these guys again, Robbie, which, you know, we haven't been able to do for the last year and a half plus. Man, he's a big body. He's a big, strong, hulking kid. He's got a great personality. Second round pick in 2019, and I'm really fascinated by him. I think this kid is way further along than any of us thought. I think he is on their radar. He got their attention, and I don't think he's going to be in Milwaukee that long, especially if they battle like the Titans. If they battle all the injuries, or, you know, they have issues, COVID, whatever. Remember, they trotted out more players. They had more skaters last year than any team in the NHL.
Yep.
They went through a hefty, long lineup. I don't think Igor's going to be in Milwaukee that long. He really intrigues me. But as for this team, I think they got a couple more moves. I don't know how you feel. I think Tomasino's made it. I talked to him Saturday afternoon after the win. I'm also impressed by him. I think we all wanted to see what he looks like. I think he deserves the opportunity to see what he would look like night in and night out in the NHL. I don't know if I'm ready to stamp that he's completely ready. I don't know. I want to see it. I wasn't blown away by him in preseason, but I do like his skill set. I mean, I do see what they like him. I talked to Nick Cousins during second period intermission on Saturday. I asked him about playing alongside Tomasino and what he brings to the table. He was very glowing about him, you know. But I want to see it. That's the hardest part, right? It's a long, grinding season. 82 games is different for a 20-year-old. And we'll see if he can handle the workload, but I really like him. I'm intrigued, and I want to see if he's ready for a full-time basis.
What are we going to see from Johansson and Duchesne, Darren? They seem to be they're just tied together now in any conversation. Of course, they're going to be on a line together too, which I think is a good move. But what's your sense for those two guys? I feel like a lot of people are almost out on them, and to me, they're a massive storyline and you know, play a huge role in determining where the season goes.
If the preseason Duchesne and Johansson show up for the regular season, I think people's predictions on the Predators is probably going to be a bit off. They're going to be a little bit better than what people thought if they can get that kind of production out of them. Joe, they're very good in the preseason. They stood out. I mean, you know, your top line should. It sounds silly to say that, but I mean, that's what you're supposed to get from your star players and a top line. But they did. I mean, because we know that's not what we've been saying. And they looked good, and they got production out of Forsberg and Johansson and Duchesne. They looked motivated, especially Matt Duchesne. I mean, I'll just tell you, reading his body language, that's kind of what I do. I like to read body language. I like to read kind of people, how they carry themselves. Being out of Centennial, just watching him, Bridgestone warm-ups, he just looks like a guy. He's heard all the noise. Like, Matt Duchene does not turn off that stuff. He's heard all the noise. He knows what's being said. He looks like a guy that's pretty motivated to change the narrative as well, kind of going back to what we were talking about earlier. If they get that type of production out of them, if these guys play like they did in the preseason together, one, they'll be the top line all season. We know that lines get shuffled around all the time. They'll be the top line. And two, they'll have more success than I think people are willing to say before the season began. But we'll see if that happens. They looked good in preseason. Now we'll see starting Thursday night if that can carry over.
We will indeed. Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donick and Chase, also handles the Predators pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex. So, Darren, we appreciate you, brother. Great stuff.
Always a pleasure. Have a good rest of the show.
Absolutely. You as well, Darren and Chase and Willie coming up at 10 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. They'll have a lot to get to today with the Titans, some college football action, and the Preds getting started this week. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Got more of your thoughts to get to on the Titans coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, now with two locations in Murfreesboro. Visit their brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Little Backstreet Boys bringing us back in today, much to the delight of Michelle Knezovic. Maybe Nickelback coming up next.
Maybe we need to do like a music critic hour, you know? On the show. I mean, I feel like our music takes are very popular.
They are.
You did that one whole show with the 400 Rolling Stones songs. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. You wrote the whole list. Did we ever get to number one on that thing?
I hope this song was not on it, by the way. It was Respect by Aretha Franklin.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
It's a great song. I mean, it's a great song. It's an iconic song. That list, it's impossible. I mean, it's impossible to do top 400 albums. Like that alone would be cause for screaming, but the top 400 songs.
Yeah.
I mean, but hey, at least they tried, and we got a lot of content out of it, so there you go.
This coming from Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. Bucks quarterback Tom Brady, who was spotted with his hand in ice during the game, is dealing with a thumb injury that should be good for Thursday night against the Eagles. So Brady, the mystical creature, continuing on. He's got a thumb injury. Threw for 411 yards and 5 touchdowns yesterday. Just continuing to add to that legacy, Joe Rexrode.
He's like E.T. He just touches his own hand. Ouch. And then it's fine. So.
Big day for him yesterday.
Extraterrestrial, Tom Brady.
That's right. Not a big day for the kickers league-wide yesterday. I mean, the game I was at between the Bengals and the Packers was kind of a display all of its own right, but around the league, not a great day for kicking yesterday, and the zero-yard punt by the Houston Texans could be the greatest thing I think I've ever seen in the history of the NFL.
Man, you know, first of all, the Texans had the Patriots.
They did.
They had them. They were going to win. Davis Mills was making big plays.
Seeing over they that line of scrimmage? Yeah, he was.
Dropping in there. Flea flicker, you know, works out. I mean, they had it all go. And then, you know, you try, you show like the fake punt and everything to try to get them off sides. And look, people do that stuff all the time. It's just if a situation like that ultimately results in a huge mistake, then of course you're going to look at it and say, why didn't you just punt the ball? Because apparently the punter was he just too close to the line or did he totally shank it? I wasn't sure which. But he came up like he was going to take basically came up like a shotgun snap, like they were going to run a trick play.
Yeah.
Then he backs up, and maybe he just didn't back up enough, but, you know, the ball goes off someone's head or whatever, and then it changes the game. it's a killer, man. The Texans.
Ugh, some great stuff. Great football by the Houston Texans yesterday. Joe, I want to get your thoughts on Kevin Byard. Obviously, he makes the big play to begin the game. Elijah Molden forces the fumble. Byard picks it up, scores a touchdown. He's got the gift-wrapped interception at the end of the game. Makes a great chase-down play to tackle James Robinson on the 58-yard run. Overall, a guy that obviously the eyeballs of Titans fans were pretty squarely on heading into this year after a struggle of a season a year ago from Kevin Byard. What have you made of Kevin Byard so far through five games?
Well, I think he's been good. And I think yesterday he was very good. You did have – he was one of the tackle whiffers on the Chenault 58-yarder. But 10 tackles, as you said, saved a touchdown. They end up giving up the touchdown anyway. But impressive play to save the touchdown. Gets in the end zone for the first time, you know, in his NFL career. Opportunistic. Look, that play is Elijah Molden. Great play. Byard's there, though. Opportunistic. I mean, I hope he went and shook Trevor Lawrence's hand after Lawrence on the last play of the game just said, here you go, have yourself a pick. But, hey, he got the pick.
Already with more picks this year than he did a year ago.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's been good. Has he been great? Has he been, wow, this is one of the best safeties in the NFL? I wouldn't say that. But I think he's been good, and I think if you find a way to increase the pass rush, which is really comes down to number 48, and if Amani Hooker is about to come back and you can stay healthy and improve at corner, maybe Caleb Farley becomes more of a factor. Molden keeps coming. You know, they can get Fulton back quickly. I mean, I think there's still ingredients there for him to have a better season. Some of it is team game, and some of it is – it's like Derrick Henry. I mean, as great as he is, if these pro football-focused darling offensive linemen aren't blocking for him, well, he's going to have 0 yards. You know, and Kevin Byard, everybody's dependent on everybody else to some extent too. But I think Byard has stood out on this defense, which hasn't had a lot of standout players so far.
It has not. And while we're talking about it, what did you think of the call early in the game where they do call the fumble, the forced fumble by Elijah Molden? Byard picks it up in real time. I thought they were going to call it incomplete. Obviously, the CBS crew did as well. They were talking about it. What a sham it was that it wasn't incomplete. What did you think of the call? Did you think it was clearly a fumble? Lots of Jags fans upset about that one. Say it changed the complexion of the game.
Well, I think whatever the call was is what should have been the call, which is how it went. But see, this is also like I like when officials let a play out, you know, and then you can go back and say, no, that was an incompletion or whatever. I thought it was really close, and I agree. In real time, I was like, yeah, it's an incompletion. Then you look at the replay. Was it a quote-unquote football move? I mean, what, did he get 3 feet down with the ball? Is that right?
It looked like
it. I mean, it's really close. But it's one of those things where I don't think you overturn it. So, I mean, that one, and I don't know that I necessarily agree with Corey Curtis from earlier. He said he didn't think any way that Lawrence's knees got down. I thought one angle did show that one of them was down before he got in at the goal line. That's obviously a huge call too, because if he just gets in there, then there you go. There's your one score game. Instead, Urban and company give the Titans a chance to blow up a fourth down play. So they got a little help from the officials, no doubt about it. I'm sure there's some call. I don't know. There's always bad calls go both ways, but those are key plays that help the Titans. Key calls
that help the Titans. And then, you know, Byard chasing down on the Robinson play. That was an eye-opener for me. We've talked about, hey, has Kevin Byard lost a step? He looked pretty fast on that play, man. That was some good speed by Kevin Byard on that play.
Yeah, no question. I mean, and I think in coverage, you know, he's been pretty good this year too. I mean, you know, you get some tough, assignments. It hasn't been perfect, but, you know, I think he came back after last year determined to have a better year. And especially if other things get better, then I think he will. I mean, he has obviously a great feel. You know, when the Titans are playing well, getting some pressure, you know, and they're in like some of their cover three stuff and everything, he's very opportunistic and, you know, can jump some stuff and make some plays. And I mean, that's the type of stuff that this defense is built to kind of, you know, give up the short stuff between the 20s, be good in the red zone, not give up big plays. The big plays have been bad. Most of them haven't really been his issue, right? I'm sure some have been. But I don't remember anything that was like, wow. Well, he did have the, you know, DeAndre Hopkins spins away from him. You know, great player in the open field, doesn't make the play. But for the most part, it's been other people. But you need Byard to lead the way, and you need him to keep making plays that change games.
Do you want to win a pair of tickets to see the Doobie Brothers at Bridgestone Arena on October 25th? Well, if you do, head on over to YouTube and subscribe to the 102.5 The Game YouTube page, and you'll enter for your chance to see the Doobie Brothers. Once you subscribe, email us at promotions@cromwellmedia.com with your YouTube handle. One winner will be chosen on Monday, October the 18th. When we come back, we'll get into the Tennessee Vols, another big win for the Vols against South Carolina this weekend. Are they actually a good football team? We'll get to that coming up next. Got some tickets to give away next on the other side as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. What a weekend it was in college football. We'll get to the Alabama A&M game, Kentucky, LSU, Penn State, Iowa. Lots of good ones on the table this weekend, including Ole Miss and Arkansas. What a barn burner that was. We'll get to all those coming up here in just a few minutes in a wild weekend of college football. But the Tennessee Vols were in action on Saturday morning, an 11 a.m. Central Time start for the Vols, and they totally destroyed South Carolina from the beginning of that game on, 28-0 in the first quarter, as Tennessee was wearing Joe Rexroad's favorite uniform combination that they've had in recent memory, with the black jerseys and the white helmets on Saturday. So not only did they play good, they looked good as well, and Tennessee gets it done. The final score, 45-20 against South Carolina, and Joe, yet another offensive masterpiece from Josh Heupel and company the last couple of weeks against Missouri and against South Carolina as well, particularly this one coming in the first half, not as explosive in the second half offensively for Tennessee.
That didn't look good. Don't enable this behavior. Do not enable this. They played well. They played well. I will agree with that point.
They are undefeated all time in the black jerseys.
Yep. 2-0. So save those. Yeah. So in 2037, bust them out for, a Vandy game.
I did find it amazing that they brought, they wore the black jerseys at a noon Eastern time kickoff when it was like 87 degrees outside. They're like, right? Well, I don't know about that.
You soak in that sun. It just gives you more energy. You know, it's a wonderful approach. But it didn't matter. I must say, look, and I'm seeing this too, on Twitter today, and I get it. Oh, you think the Vols are good? They just beat two bad teams. Fine, but there's no reason that anyone should have expected Tennessee to blow Missouri and South Carolina out by halftime. I mean, to just run both of those teams off the field. We understand where Tennessee is. Tennessee is in the same mix with both of those programs. I looked back, Missouri was picked ahead of Tennessee this year in the East, South Carolina right behind them. Both, first-year coaches at South Carolina and Tennessee, second-year coach at Missouri. Tennessee has a much higher ceiling, of course, more resources and all that. But right now at this moment, they're right in that mix with those programs. Really, it's obviously Georgia, Florida, and then it's Kentucky. I mean, that's in terms of program health and performance right now. Kentucky is coming into this state and taking recruits that Tennessee wants, which Tennessee needs to end that. But they're in that neighborhood with these programs. So, no, you don't just shrug it off and say, yeah, whatever. Yeah, they put up 100 points in two halves of football against those teams. I mean, that was stunning to me. And it is impressive, and people should recognize that it's an achievement for this team, this program, in this moment.
Hendon Hooker, 17 of 23, 225 through the air, 3 touchdowns passing as well on Saturday. Ran the ball 20 times at quarterback, 20 carries for 66 yards for Hendon Hooker. Another touchdown on the ground as well for Hooker. Look, he's come in, he's played really well. He's been really efficient. Josh Heupel has done obviously a good job dialing up some plays, but right now Tennessee has also been able to hit on the deep ball. And when you can actually hit the deep ball, I mean, that's what South Carolina was scared to death of in the first quarter. They hit the first one to Peyton, and you go up 7-0. And then South Carolina started playing about 12 yards off the line of scrimmage. And Tennessee, both in the running game and in the quick passing game, was just eviscerating South Carolina in the quick passing game. So that just goes to show, if you can actually hit on some of those deep balls, that can change what your offense is able to do at that point.
Oh, no doubt. And it's the way they set teams up for things also is impressive. And it's funny because it's like you have to know it's coming if you watch film of them. Like, you understand what they're doing.
Yep.
They're going dink, dink, you know, those screen, 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 and then boom, they're going to hit you with a pump fake and hit you deep. But they do it in different ways, and it's just very creative and well-timed. And it's just – it's the feel of someone who really knows how to set up and call an offense. And like you said, now you got to get the most important position to function as it should and be efficient. And, I mean, Hendon Hooker, what is he, 13-1 touchdown to pick right now? Best efficiency rating in the SEC, and it's with some awfully good quarterbacks. And by the way, how many times was he sacked in this game? Six?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, that's something that needs, you know, you got to work on that. Here and there, South Carolina just came free with a rusher.
Six
three sacks, shots yeah. on him. He's taking a lot of hits. So that's something you gotta work on. But I mean, that offense has gotta have tons of confidence going into a huge Saturday night game at Neyland. And when they watch film of Ole Miss's defense this week, they're not gonna lose confidence.
No, they are not. Certainly some points to be had there. Right now the over under for Tennessee and Ole Miss on the FanDuel Sportsbook at 79.5. So could be a lot of points coming up on Saturday. All right, Joe, we've already gotten some of this. Oh, yeah, you could be taking over. We've already gotten some of this on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com throughout the show today. Tennessee beat Missouri and South Carolina. Calm down. It doesn't mean anything. What do you think about that? What's your response to those who say these last 2 weeks against South Carolina and Missouri don't mean much?
Well, yeah, it's like I just said. I mean, these programs are in your neighborhood. And these are supposed to be close games. Missouri was favored. I mean, most people who cover Tennessee as a beat pick Missouri to win that game, I think.
Yep.
And again, you're talking Homer Central, okay? and the game's over at halftime. South Carolina, I know I said it on the show last week, and I think a lot of people probably were thinking, like, Tennessee should win that game. Who had them winning 38-7 at the half? Come on. You got to look at what they're doing and say, okay, this is beyond just, okay, you beat pretty bad teams. You're not supposed to be a good team. I mean, you got to have it in the proper context. So I guess, you know, I think I'm sure a lot of people saying this are like fans of other teams, right? Probably. And maybe there's some Vols fans who are pumping the brakes, and that's fine. Like, you don't want to go overboard with what this means. The schedule's about to get really hard. But these are surprising results. These are impressive performances.
Well, I said
there's
it earlier.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, no, I said it earlier. You know, they look like a really well-coached football team right now. Josh Heupel on both sides of the ball, really. They look prepared. You know, we've talked about the play-calling part of this. I think Josh Heupel has been pretty excellent for the most part in terms of the play-calling and dialing things up. Even in games like the Florida game where the execution wasn't quite there, for the most part, the play calling was. Like, I think they did a really good job. So Josh Heupel continues to impress in that regard, but they just look well prepared. Now, to your point defensively, and I think Tim Banks deserves a lot of credit. He's done a good job, and they've gotten, I think, the most out of that defense so far, even with some injuries that they've had to deal with. And once again, on Saturday, I mean, Tyler Barron basically is not playing on Saturday. He came in, had a big sack, but he's not 100% healthy. Theo Jackson didn't play. I mean, they were thin on Saturday defensively, and they still made some big plays against an albeit not very good South Carolina offense. But, you know, Ole Miss coming into town. Obviously, we know what Georgia and Kentucky have done this year, and then there's Alabama on the schedule as well. This defense is really about to be put to the test, and they're probably going to have some games, including this one on Saturday, where they give up some big numbers. But all in all, I think if you're a Tennessee fan, there's a lot to be encouraged about six games in.
Yeah, and it's like, enjoy this season and this team. You know, I don't know. I understand the instinct to say, what does this mean? What, okay, so this means what for the program? I have no clue. I mean, Josh Heupel has to recruit better than he's recruited. It's been a short period of time. There's an NCAA investigation.
Yep.
But he has to recruit better than this. I don't know what it means. There's still a long way from being able to go toe-to-toe with, like, a Georgia. Okay?
Oh, that was the greatest Robo Joe of all time right there. The greatest Robo Joe ever.
Yeah, you went major Robo on that, Joe.
What is happening? So this is the hour, the witching hour of Wi-Fi.
I guess
every time it happens, Robbie and I just look at each other, and you're like, Georgia.
Oh, that was the best one ever.
So what did I say? Like, what words came out of Robo Joe's mouth?
Georgia. It was good stuff.
Well, anyway.
Thank you.
That was great.
Yeah,
Joe.
As I was trying to say. Yes, thank you. As I was trying to say. Yeah, you're a long way from being able to go toe-to-toe with that. And that's the ultimate goal. I have no idea. But right now, it's a fun team. You know, it's there's some encouraging stuff here. It doesn't mean that this coach is finally doing all the good things that the last coaches sucked at. And they were terrible, and this guy's great. Just, I don't know where it's going to go. But I would say if you were drawing up a debut season for Josh Heupel, especially if you could just make another play or two against Pittsburgh, you know, you could be looking at possibly like 8-4,
yeah,
which would be awfully, awfully impressive. And I agree with you. They look like a well-coached football team on both sides of the ball. There are limitations. They need Barron. They need Elijah Simmons. They need Theo Jackson. But they're playing well. It's fun. It's fun to watch.
We've got some tickets to give away to see Nashville SC take on Columbus at Nissan Stadium on Wednesday, October the 20th. Be caller number 3. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a family four-pack of tickets to see Nashville SC in action taking on Columbus at Nissan Stadium on Wednesday, October the 20th. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the show with a big weekend in college football. Also, another wild weekend of NFL action as well. We'll talk about it all coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. We are streaming live on Twitch, on Twitter, and on YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Obviously, a lot of college football madness over the weekend, Joe Rexrow. The Penn State-Iowa game was awesome. Alabama-A&M, a great game as well. Alabama goes down. So we joked last week about this contract extension for Jimbo. I mean, maybe today they lock him up through 2043. Maybe they knew what they were doing the whole time.
Well, right. I mean, this is a big, big answer for Jimbo. And, I'm just – watching that game, and I'm just like, man, you just don't know. You just don't know what's going to happen in this sport. It made no sense to me based on how they played their quarterback situation, but they made plays. And obviously the kickoff return, all that, I mean, pretty amazing stuff. And, yes, Jimbo, big answer. It's interesting that he does that on the night that I think it starts to really become clear that Coach O is on shaky ground, which is just amazing in its own right, that 2 years after – one of the great seasons in college football history.
Yep.
He might be out. Now, on a side note with that, I still, like, if I'm LSU, I think you need to know who's next, don't you? Before just saying, okay, you're out, Coach O, and then you start the cycle.
Sure.
Now, Jimbo would obviously be one of the guys who would be very attractive there. I'm thinking the extension for Jimbo. And now this big win means that it's a non-starter, I would guess so. And I think at Texas A&M, you have access to everything you need. And really, you have access to more talent in state. You also have more competition. But
it would be Urban Meyer.
But that's a – I hadn't thought about Urban Meyer at LSU. I totally reject, like, the morality part of this. I think that
– Well, we know LSU is all about morality.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's an interesting thought, actually. But, yeah, what a wild night. Does this change the playoff picture? Does it make the Big Ten? Big Ten has five top 10 teams for the first time ever.
Yep.
Does this now mean the Big Ten has the inside track at two teams as opposed to what we thought, just Bama, Georgia are going to be there?
Maybe. I mean, it now gives Alabama no margin for error at this point, whereas, you know, I thought before probably Alabama and Georgia were both going to be undefeated in the SEC title game, and whoever wins is going to be the top seed. Whoever loses will move down, and they'll see each other again at some point in the playoff. Now, if you're Bama, like, you've got to beat Georgia in the SEC title game to get in, probably. Like, that's probably going to be how it shakes out.
Georgia looks like the better team right now.
They do.
I mean, I think clearly. And so, yeah, if they actually get it done, if that's the matchup in Atlanta, then Bama's not going to make it. And I don't know. Maybe Penn State was going to beat Iowa. I'm convinced of that. When Sean Clifford was playing, they were a much better team.
Yep.
And then Iowa took advantage of a young backup quarterback in there, and they did the job. But Penn State's flat out better. I think Penn State might be the best team in the Big Ten. And I think that loss, for anybody who watched it closely, you know, if Penn State can – I mean, they've got Michigan State, Ohio State. But, like, if they can run that, and Iowa's on the other side, and I still think you can't discount Ohio State. I mean, things did just get a lot more interesting with the playoff picture.
They absolutely did. And in the NFL, what a wild weekend it was in week number five. You know, we've talked a lot about the Titans, obviously. The Packers-Bengals. Packers get it done 25-22. I was in the house for that field goal kicking clinic that got put on. It was something else to behold in Cincinnati. The Steelers get it done and take down the Broncos, who I think have proven at this point to be total frauds after that 3-0 start. I wouldn't be that worried about the Broncos if I'm a Titans fan. And then the Chargers and the Browns, 47-42 the final. Justin Herbert with four touchdowns through the air, 398 passing yards, another touchdown on the ground. What a game that was between the Chargers and the Browns. You know, we've been talking all season long so far about the Browns and this great defense that they have, and they played really well. And then you give up 47 to the Chargers.
It's just bizarre. I mean, it really is. But I think it's also another sign that the Chargers are absolutely for real. I mean, yep. The LA teams are both absolutely for real. So, you know, that's a and the Browns, I still think, are too. I think the Browns are very good, but that was a little bit of a reality check for them. You know, more frauds. The Raiders, fraudulent.
Yep.
I mean, I can't believe I went lock on the freaking Panthers against the Eagles, and they just flat out lose the game. Total fraud. And Sam Darnold looked like New York Jets vintage Sam Darnold with some of his decisions in that game.
Yes, Jeez. He did.
So we're seeing, you know, we're seeing some reality across the league, but we're also seeing, I think the Cowboys hype is looking pretty good.
Yep.
I think the Bills hype is going to go nuts until they look mortal again. Like I said, the LA teams, the Bucks, and, you know, the Cardinals, that's I'm impressed, man. They get into an absolute grinder. I know it's Trey Lance and he's a rookie, and it's a total, you know, I mean, he had 90 yards rushing, but he's limited as
he's
a
not
rookie.
Ready. Yeah.
He's not ready, but I'm still impressed with the Cardinals, like, winning in different ways, you know, and just finding a way to win these close games. It's always tough in that division. The best division in football, hands down. Four playoff caliber teams, four teams that could make runs in the playoffs, although maybe the Seahawks fall off now that Russell Wilson is hurt. But that's a good team. So some of week one was not just the Titans being embarrassed and all the poor, you know, play that they had. I think we saw a real contender in Nashville that day.
I think so, and still the Cardinals, the only undefeated team remaining in the NFL. They are 5-0 with a 17-10 win against San Francisco yesterday. Kyler Murray still has to be one of the front runners of the MVP, although Justin Herbert, Josh Allen creeping up there too. Lots of good quarterback play so far. Not to mention Brady and Rodgers.
Yep.
There are those two.
And yeah, I truly believe it. I know it's a homer Nashville take. Derrick Henry should be mentioned anytime it comes up. And that will largely be, you know, dictated by the Titans team performance. It's got to be better.
Yep.
They can't be a middling team, and they look like a middling team right now, but he is basically carrying them. And that's really what's happening, is Derrick Henry is carrying this team. And just the numbers are ridiculous. He's on pace to do insane things. So he should be right now in – it's so early anyway to talk MVP, but he should be mentioned every time it comes up.
Stat on Twitter from Mike Renner of Pro Football Focus. Harold Landry is the only player in the NFL that has had at least five pressures in every single game this season. So the only player in the league with at least five pressures in every game this season.
Well, that's impressive. And the thing is, if that was the case and he was at like a 1.5 sacks, and it'd still be like, okay, great, but you got to get the quarterback to the ground. When you have 4.5 sacks in tandem with that stat, you know, it has more teeth. It means more. The guy's been tremendous. If Derrick Henry's carrying this team, I would put Harold Landry as the guy carrying the defense right now, just making big plays. I mean, he individually snuffed out a couple of Jacksonville drives that who knows what might have happened otherwise.
Yep, and we'll see if he can get some help and some reinforcements coming up. Maybe Monty Hooker, maybe Bud Dupree. When the Titans take on the Bills, they've got a week to heal up now, a week from tonight, the Monday night matchup for the Titans against the Bills. Obviously, we'll have a lot to get to this week on the Titans and the Bills. And as Joe, you pointed out, maybe the most impressive team in football. I know Arizona's undefeated, but Buffalo's look pretty awesome, and they dismantled Kansas City last night, 38-20. That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donica Chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.